Sports Radio.
Up and at 'em. Let's stay busy. We go into hour number two. What's going on? Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. I am live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. So much to get done. I don't want to waste any time. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, one phone line open, 1-800-636-8686. We are talking Browns football. I am joined by a three-time Pro Bowler, a wide receiver for the Browns. He had three receptions, 57 yards and a TD. Two carries, 54 additional yards and a TD in Sunday's win over Carolina. For the season, 69 receptions, 790 yards, and three TDs. He led the NFL with 112 receptions last season. 76 straight games with at least two receptions, 400 receptions in his first four seasons. That is the most in league history. And the 63rd pick overall in 2014 out of LSU, Cleveland, at Denver. Saturday, they are still in the hunt. Jarvis Landry is my guest. Jarvis, well, that's a lot to get out. Good to have you back. How are you?
Oh, man, it's so good to be on, man. How you doing?
Dude, I'm great. It's really good to have you back. Thanks so much for doing this. Let me get you to go back to last weekend. First, you did just about everything there was to do on a football field in that win over Carolina. Let me start with the fake jet sweep into a real jet sweep where you scored. What did you see on that play?
Man, honestly, it was just a great design play, you know, and when I turned the corner, it was nothing but the end zone, you know, and it was a great call by Freddie and, you know, Joel. He led the way on that one for me, and I scored.
All right, then there was your carry on third and two in the fourth, where you went 51 yards and set up the game-winning TD. How much pride then was there for you to come through in a moment like that?
Man, look, I'm still getting ragged on for not scoring and letting Keekly catch me on that play. So I don't want to talk about it so much, but, you know, it was a good play, man. And, you know, I don't think that they thought that we would call it twice. And we did, and, you know, I got it down to the three-yard line, and then, you know, Chubb and O-line, you know, they did their thing by punching it in and taking the lead late.
We're talking to Jarvis Landry. They did run that play back. You guys did, and that was a great call also. Listen, we can't move on from that game without talking about that 51-yard TD reception that he caught over a couple of defenders. Baker Mayfield called it, quote, an unbelievable catch. Rashard Higgins said, quote, I was like, how the hell he catch that? That surprised me, end quote. So how the hell did you catch that?
Man, it was a hell of a throw, man. It was a hell of a throw, you know, between two defenders, you know, what, 50 yards down the field. And honestly, like I told Baker, man, I just fell in love with the ball, and you know, he trusted me enough to throw it. You know, I had to catch it, you know, and that's all I was thinking about.
Yeah, that was a hell of a throw. What a great line. You fell in love with the ball. What do you mean by that?
I know there were guys around me. You know, I know that it's going to be a tough catch, but, you know, I just focused on the ball, fell in love with it. Like I said, fell in love with it, just only saw the ball, and, you know, I caught it.
Jarvis Landry joining us. Listen, when you arrived in Cleveland, you were telling the world that something special was about to happen with this team. At that time, that was a pretty bold statement because the team had won just one game in its previous 2 years. So what did you see that made you feel like that was all about to change?
I mean, I just understood the potential that we had and knowing that and then seeing the guys that we brought in with the draft, with all our draft picks. You know, I knew the opportunity was going to be there for us to have a you know, potentially have a good season, you know, and we're still in place to make a playoff run here. But, you know, obviously, I think for us, we got to go to Denver and get this one handled and settled and, you know, worry about the rest of it later. But, you know, I know that, you know, our future is bright here in Cleveland.
Hey, listen, you're taking this in stride right now, and you knew. You were there. You knew. I don't think too many people on the outside knew. Is there any part of you? I mean, like you said, you're in December. You're still in the hunt. You've got a shot still for the postseason this year. Is there any part of you that wants to say, hey, now, I told you. I told you all this could happen.
You know what? No, it's not. You know, I know, a lot of it for me has just been, you know, the confidence thing and the confidence level that we have as a team and every guy has in himself, and understanding what we can get done. You know, it's not so much telling people, well, I told you so, but it's about proving the people right that took a chance and all the guys that's in the building and that take the field each and every time we have a game to compete for victory.
Jarvis Landry, my guest. All right, so maybe it's not about I told you so, but the fact is you're a huge part of changing that culture and creating a new one. How did you go about doing that? What was your process and your approach?
Honestly, it was just, you know, just doing my part. You know, I've always kind of been a leader by example. You know, obviously, you know, from Hard Knocks, people saw me talking a little bit and with the speech and stuff like that, you know, and I still don't think it was a speech. You know, I just think it was just something that, you know, me talking to the guys about. But, you know, all this stuff, you know, is not just credited to me. You know, there's a lot of guys that are also leaders inside that building. You know, and we just found a way to understand that, you know, it's about us. It's not about our opponents. It's not about what's going on distraction-wise. You know, it was just about us. And, you know, we took that serious and, you know, we started winning games.
We're talking to Browns wide receiver Jarvis Landry. Now, you mentioned what it's like to lead and how you approach your leadership role. As one leader looking at another, what do you make of Baker Mayfield and what he's brought to the team?
I mean, outstanding. You know, his charisma, his attitude, his personality, you know, just his competitive nature is something that, you know, rubs off on everybody. You know, seeing a quarterback that fiery, you know, and obviously, you know, he has the arm and it's all the tools to back it up. So, you know, when you could do that, especially at this level, being the highest level on a consistent basis, you know, you earn the respect and you earn the right to be called a leader on this level. And, you know, he's doing that so far, and he's only a rookie.
Yeah, see, that was going to be my thing. I mean, it's one thing. I agree with everything you just said. I understand that. But to do that as quickly as he has, as young a guy as he is, that to me is what makes it so impressive. You know, Jarvis, when I look at your game in particular, there's so many numbers to me that stick out. Leading the league in receptions last season, being among the league leaders in first down receptions, red zone TDs. As you look at your game, what's the stat or maybe the aspect of your game that you're most proud of?
Man, I don't know. You know, I try to stay out of the stat line and stuff like that. But, you know, for the most part, man, honestly, my focus is just catching the ball, you know, as far as just getting the right targets, getting the opportunities, and then making the plays when they come my way, you know. And that's been the biggest thing. I know here, especially as of late, you know, it's going to be huge for us and crucial for us for, you know, our playmakers to step up, myself included. You know, when we get opportunities to make plays for this team, we got to be able to make them and, you know, make bigger plays out of the plays that we got.
So how different has the team been since the change at head coach?
It's been a lot different. You know, Greg Williams is a lot different than, you know, Coach Hugh was. Greg is a, you know, he's a really great motivator, you know, and not only that, you know, he urges us to compete every day. I think I said this yesterday, you know, and there's something about, you know, that, you know, does a lot for guys. I know, like myself, being a fiery guy and being a competitor, you know, he kind of brings a little bit more juice to me and to the team, you know, whether it's a speech or just a mindset that he approaches the game with or coaching with or just life with in general, you know, that kind of, you know, open doors and, you know, open our minds up to different things.
Jarvis, what about Freddie Kitchens? You mentioned him at the top. What's it been like with him scheming up and dialing up the offense, and what's it been like playing for him?
I mean, it's been good. You know, it's been good. You know, just understanding too, you know, he's kind of new to calling plays, you know, as well, you know, but he's done a hell of a job, man, of just trying to make sure that obviously with a young quarterback, we put him in situations to, you know, complete passes, you know, and hand the ball off. Chubb has been running the ball great, you know, so, you know, we've just been finding a way to keep it balanced, finding a way to keep teams off balance. And I think with Freddie calling the plays, you know, he don't really have any tendencies, you know, so it's kind of tough for a defense to prepare for us, which kind of gives us the advantage, you know.
Jarvis Landry joining us, definitely so. Listen, one thing, you're coming off an enormous game, lots of touches, you impacted the game in so many different ways. Since the change in coaching, though, there have been some games where you did not see as many targets. It would have been easy for a guy in your position to complain, but that's not what you've done. You've been a leader, you haven't said anything at all. A lot of other guys may not have taken that approach. Why have you approached it that way?
You know, I mean, it's just kind of who I am. You know, it's been tough. You know, obviously it's tough, you know, being a competitor and, you know, wanting to help the team. You know, I think for me personally, just coming off a contract this season, you know, I want to be able to earn my check, you know. And, you know, it didn't come with the touches that, you know, I thought it would come with, but it came with a couple of victories, you know, and I'm all about winning. You know, it's definitely been a humbling moment for me, time for me, but, you know, I've embraced it. And I stayed patient. I kept trusting my preparation. I continued to work hard at practice. And, you know, my time came this past week. And, you know, I made the plays when my number was called. And, you know, hopefully this week it's the same deal.
So listen, finally, what's it like now? I mean, you're in the hunt. You're in the hunt. You're playing games in December that matter. This is unfamiliar territory for a lot of guys in that locker room. What's it like to come to work knowing that you've got that much at stake this late in the season?
It's definitely exciting, you know, but from there, you know, it has to be a motivating factor, you know, and the focus, the discipline, the detail, all that stuff has to be, you know, amplified and cranked up a little bit because, you know, in December, every game counts, especially this late and especially in the situation that we're in right now. You know, every game counts. So for us, the focus and all that stuff is real high. And we're going to leave out today and, you know, get acclimated to the weather and, you know, start to get ready for Saturday.
Jarvis Landry joining us. Last thought about getting acclimated. What's it like when you go to Denver? What's it like when you deal with the atmosphere? What's it like when you deal with those elements? How big of a difference is that?
You know, it never really fazed me. I played out there twice. It never really fazed me. It never really bothered me. So I'm interested to see, you know, if this time will be different. But, you know, regardless of the altitude and all that stuff, we're going out there to win the game and all the rest of that stuff. I don't care about.
Which, Jarvis, you know me. Like, I'm a world-class athlete and all. Like, last time I went to Colorado, I got an elliptical machine for 3 minutes. I thought I was going to die after 3 minutes, man. So much respect to you and everybody who's got to ball out like that. Because to me, there's a – I mean, dude, walking up and down the street, I had issues. So I can only imagine what it's like to play at that high level. Jarvis Landry is my guest, a three-time Pro Bowler coming off a huge game. And Cleveland is at Denver. Jarvis, appreciate you a lot, man. Thank you so much and great to have you back on.
Always good to talk to you, brother. Thank you.
Great talking to you. Sincerely, Jarvis Landry. Man, he's got tremendous presence, and that's exactly what a good young team like that needs, if you ask me. And I thought that was such a real response, too. I signed a big contract. I'm a competitor. I want to make plays for you. I want to help you win. And when I'm not getting my number called, yeah, I'm going to admit it's kind of tough. But I've got a job to do. I've got to keep myself ready. I've got to find different ways to lead. And when my number's called, I'll be there and I'll be ready. But in the meantime, I got to keep my mouth shut and I got to find a way to lead, guys. And he is. And they are America's team. And if they're America's team, he's America's wide receiver. Jarvis Landry. I love the Browns. In the hunt. They're still mathematically alive. They're still in the hunt. And they've got nothing to prove to me. They don't have to go to Denver to win that game to justify anything at all. They've got nothing to prove to me. They've already proven their point. They made a coaching change. It was the right move. They took Baker Mayfield number one overall. That was the right move. They brought in Jarvis Landry. That was the right move. Playmakers on both sides of the ball, and they matter. I love these guys. Jarvis Landry talking about it. I'm like, even his teammates were saying, incredible catch. Baker Mayfield said, unbelievable catch. Rashard Higgins said, how the hell did he catch that ball? I said, Jarvis, how did you catch that ball? Quote, I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the ball. It's good advice. I fall in love with this mic every single day. I fell in love with the mic. Good show, Rome. Good interview, Rome. How'd you do that? Fell in love with the mic. It's just me and my mic. Okay, this is going to get weird, so I'm just not going to do it.
Awkward.
Got awkward between me and the mic. All right, telephone call is coming up next. With the weather getting colder, the struggle to get out of bed is real. I've been fighting this every single day because of my Casper mattress. It makes it tempting to want to stay under the covers, stay warm, stay cozy. Hands down, the most comfortable mattress that I have ever slept on. Once you try Casper, you are going to love yours as much as I love mine. Casper ships for free to your door in a small, how'd they do that, size box. They'll even pick it up if you don't love yours like I love mine, and they will refund you everything. From its engineering to its packaging to letting you try it for 100 nights, it's no wonder Casper has over 35,000 five-star reviews of all of their products across Casper, Google, and Amazon. Sleeping on that mattress is the best way to try it. Put a Casper to test in your own home for 100 nights, risk-free. Go to Casper.com. Make sure you use my code name Rome. Get $50 off towards the purchase of certain mattresses. Casper.com, code Rome. Get $50 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com, terms and conditions do apply.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Sunday, doubleheader day. It's all about the playoffs. Miami taking on Minnesota. A huge game of two teams fighting to win their divisions. New England colliding with Pittsburgh. The day kicks off with the NFL Today on CBS, powered by Ram. 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific. All right, so a quick recap. At the top of the program, I mentioned that the Raptors are a thing, a really good thing, a really good team. Look at what they've done. They hammered Golden State last night, and they did so without Kawhi Leonard. That was after hammering the Clippers. They hammered Golden State without Kawhi Leonard on the back end of back-to-backs. So they're a real deal. I mentioned that that would have been the biggest thing here in California, except that it's not, because Joe Kelly, the king of Corona, the pride of Riverside County, is coming home. He's going to be with the LA Dodgers, according to The Athletic. I led with that. Went into segment number two, and my man DA called the program. And the reason DA called the program is because Matt in LA called yesterday. Before I reset that, some quick reaction. Nate in Appleton tweeted, "Is there a plot available at the cemetery for Matt in LA's carcass?" Ryan in H-Town tweets, "I think DA stands for Dental Assassin. RIP Matt in LA. Tommy from NC tweets, "That DA call had some teeth." At DA on CBS tweets, "Appreciate all the love from the clones after my smackdown of Matt in LA on Jim Rome today. Been a long time goal to call into the jungle. Glad I could do it by committing murder on a guy who savors gas station hot dogs. Hashtag Matt Urkel." A guy who savors gas station hot dogs. All right, so what are we talking about here? How'd this all start? It all started yesterday when Matt in LA, out of nowhere, took this run at Damon Amendolara.
"I want to wish all my peoples at the CBS Sports Net a happy holiday season. Jimmy, give my best to DA, who is literally smiling ear to ear these days. I mean, Jack Nicholson's Joker thinks dude has a ginormous grin."
Wasn't exactly sure where that came from. So it worked its way back to DA. So DA made a call to the jungle. Now, remember, DA has his own show. He's the lead-in to this show. And as anybody in my business will tell you, it's all about your lead-in. You have to have a strong lead-in. And I do. He has his own show. He's got his own spot. And he talked about it. He talked about that call on his show, but he wanted to respond to it on this show, which I not only respected, I was hyped about. So Damon called the program.
"I smile because I have my big, beautiful, bright teeth. All of them. Crazy, right, Matt? All of them. I'm sure your family would faint if they saw a full smile of chiclets and full dental coverage. It's awesome. You're the guy Rome goes to, Matt, when the better caller hung up. You're the guy Rome goes to, Matt, when Jeff Passan from the winter meetings needs to get better cell service for a minute. You're what we call wallpaper, radio wallpaper. It's ugly, out of date, but always there to cover up a crack in the drywall."
The shock is not that Matt in LA is calling to respond, but that it took as long as it did for him to call to respond. Now, I have no idea how long this is going to last. Well, let's see what Matt says first, and then we'll have a better idea. Back to the phones. Matt started this fight yesterday. DA called today, knocked him to the ground, and started stepping on his head. And now Matt's back. Matt's getting back up. Matt, look what you did, man. What's up?
Romy Rome, hey, from Gardena, California to Gardena, New Jersey. Your boy Matt in L.A. wants to welcome you all to the world's most notorious sports talk show on the CBS Sports Net. And I will be calling Dude Show tomorrow, too. You are now rocking with the jungle. So first off, man, Vince Scully used to say two-thirds of the earth is covered by water and the other third is covered by Gary Maddox. But in this case, two-thirds of DA's dome piece is covered by his antler-laden pie hole and the other third is spectacular talking hairdo. Jim, never had I seen a talk show host able to swallow a microphone sideways and still have room to take a swig of his cup of joe until I saw my dude on the NFL Network the other night narrating the 10 best list. I mean, Darren has the uncanny gift of fitting a five-course meal inside a storage warehouse of an oral cavity while carrying on a conversation simultaneously. But truthfully, man, I got nothing but love for D.A., almost as much love for D.A. as his dentist, who makes Bag Harper-like money off of D.A.'s monthly prophylaxis alone. And relax, clones. Prophylaxis is the medical term for dental cleaning, not what you wish you used. So get your heads out of the gutter. But I'm extending the olive branch, Jimmos. Yo, D.A., next time you're in L.A., if you're not too bougie, hit me up. I'll be in the South Bay, homie. Gardena, to be exact, though, not Montebello. That's all I got, Jim. War D.A. finishing off carne asada burritos in one bite. War Irate Craig using fish skeletons as combs. Out!
Matt in L.A. It's not a bad beef, actually. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. All right, Matt, well done. He extended, if that's extending the olive branch, I don't want to see what happens when he wants to give him the hands. But he said that he would call this show tomorrow. All right, so my man D.A. handled his business. Again, he's got his own show. He's got his own brand. I don't need to put him in the smack off. He handled his thing. You know, Matt will come in every single day with that. Matt in L.A. You can even go ahead and rack that phone call, too. Not a bad beef. That beef's actually kind of fun. Sort of good-natured. Oh! You couldn't mix in a Quip reference? Electric toothbrush, man. That thing is where it's at. 1-800-636-8686. Did he just say that my man can swallow a mic sideways while still sipping his Joe? Daniel Jeremiah is going to join me in about 15 minutes. We're going to break down Chiefs and Chargers. Who do you like tonight? I love the matchup. I've got a prediction. I will cover that later on. All right, so I've got that conversation. Then we are open the rest of the way. 1-800-636-8686. This is why you got to tune in every single day. You're never sure exactly what's going to happen. Like, I didn't know that Matt was going to, well, I knew Matt would call because Matt always calls. I didn't know that Matt would call and take a run at DA. And then I didn't know that DA would call and respond and eviscerate Matt.
Outro!
That was funny. In fact, the entire call was funny. Daniel Jeremiah, when we return, I want to remind you, Teddy Atlas is Jim Rome, episode 63. Check out that podcast. If you like boxing, you will love that. If you don't like boxing, you will love that. It's a really good conversation. First up, though, I've got a sports update for you. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You want to spread the holiday cheer with Panera Bread gift cards, soups, salads, sandwiches, bakery treats, a gift that everybody will love. Plus, for every $50 in gift cards purchased, you get a $10 bonus card for yourself. Order online or visit your local Panera for more details. All right, then. More telephone calls coming up momentarily, but as promised, we're joined now by an NFL Network analyst. He is the host of the Move the Sticks podcast. A participant back in the day in the Jim Rome 3-on-3 basketball tournament. He passed for 7,550 yards at El Cajon Christian. Thursday night football concludes tonight with Chargers, Chiefs on Fox, NFL Network, and Amazon Prime Video. Daniel Jeremiah is my guest. Daniel, what's up? Good to have you back.
What's going on, Rome? Nice high school. Impressive, man.
Dude, you had a great career, over 7,500 yards passing. Nice job. All right, so
thanks,
tonight,
bro.
We've got Chargers Chiefs at Arrowhead. I'm not going to ask you for your prediction because you do cover the Chargers. But, Daniel, if we go back to the first week, a lot of people were leaving the Chargers for dead after that game against Kansas City. So how would you describe the way they have responded to that game, the way they've turned their season around?
Well, they've really done a nice job. I mean, early in the season, they played the Chiefs and the Rams, and they dropped those games. And I think a lot of people thought, okay, kind of same old Chargers, but they just continue to get better and better. And you go back and look at that first meeting with Kansas City, they had undrafted rookie free agent returning punts that day, J.J. Jones, who was cut after that game, after one game. He drops a punt at the 3-yard line. The Chiefs punch in one play later. You have a punt return for a touchdown by Tyreek Hill. and you have a couple drop touchdown passes for the Chargers. And Rivers threw for 400-plus yards in that game. They made some mistakes, and thought they were competitive against the Rams on the road, lose that game. But then this team just settled in. You know, they're very balanced. It's a top-10 offense. It's a top-10 defense. And Rivers, when he's protecting the football, they're tough to beat. So they've got a couple big road wins now with Seattle and Pittsburgh, and this will be their biggest challenge tonight.
We're talking to Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, also covering the Chargers. Now, as you break down film on the Chiefs against the Ravens, what did you make of what you saw from Patrick Mahomes and how he handled that pressure that Baltimore brought?
Well, I was impressed, Jim. I mean, they knocked the snot out of him. I think they hit him 15 times in that game, and he just kept coming back. And the fourth and nine throw is, I don't know if I can tell you if I've seen a better throw in an NFL game. To make that throw rolling to your right all the way across the middle of the field to Tyreek Hill to kind of save the game for him, I've never seen a throw like that. So to me, they kind of showed their mettle. I think there was might not have been said around the league, but people were curious, okay, this is a high-flying team, but is it a finesse team? Let's see. You know, Baltimore is going to punch you in the mouth. Let's see how this team responds and how this quarterback responds. And you got to give them credit. They passed the test.
No, and he did, and they did with a lot of grit and a lot of heart. And, Daniel, to your point, I mean, I've never seen a guy make a throw like that ever, much less in that situation, fourth and nine, to keep them alive. In fact, this guy started 14 games now. He started 14 games in his career. How do you explain the fact that he's already playing at the level he's playing at?
Well, it's stupid. I mean, I don't know how you explain it. I mean, I had heard you know, all the buzz about him on the practice field the previous year, and I got friends in that front office, and they just kept raving about him. And then, okay, well, you know, let's see. And get out there and see him in person week one. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this kid's legit, man. He's got all kinds of ability, and it's a perfect match for Andy Reid. And then the weapons that they have and his confidence, I mean, I think that's really kind of the biggest thing, is that Andy Reid, having worked with him for a couple of years in Philadelphia, nobody instills more confidence in their guy than Andy does, and all of his quarterbacks traditionally play well. He just never had a kid with this much ability that now has this much confidence. It really is. Look, I'm calling the game for the Chargers, but I'm looking forward to just watching the kid play. It is fun to watch him.
Daniel Jeremiah, my guest, you mentioned his weapons. Of course, he's without one weapon that he's not going to get back in Kareem Hunt. How different do they look to you without Kareem Hunt?
Well, they just chucked it. I mean, they just decided to chuck it against the Ravens. Look, they're not going to run the ball as well. I mean, we'll see Damian Williams will get the nod tonight because they've got a couple other injuries. Well, Spencer Ware, don't think he's going. So, you know, they're a little bit more lopsided, which will be interesting. You know, if we have some wet weather, you'd think maybe run the ball a little bit more. And the other thing is, one of the guys they're missing from the first week is Laurent Tarvenet, or I can't even say his name right. I get it wrong every time. Canadian guard. He's really, really good. Duvernay-Tardif, thank you. But he played really, really well against the Chargers in the first game. So not having him on the offensive line, you're without Cam Irving, their other guard. So missing a couple offensive linemen and your stud linebackers is a big factor. But Chargers are missing two running backs themselves.
All right, to that point, Daniel Jeremiah, my guest, both teams are banged up, and the Chargers are missing a couple of running backs. That being said, how much more pressure is there on Philip Rivers if he doesn't have either one of those guys?
Well, I think it's been, you know, since Anthony Lynn got to this organization as the head coach, one of the keys has been, okay, take some of that pressure off of Philip Rivers with the run game, and Melvin Gordon done a phenomenal job of that. But tonight, I think it's kind of like, you know, for one night only. You know, this is a Philip Rivers show, man. It's gonna be all on him. He's gonna have to have a huge game. I think you look for them. You know, if the running game doesn't get cranked up, I think you see a quick passing game. Get the ball to backs. These young backs can catch the ball. They're gonna play in the night. So I think the quick passing game, and then eventually take some shots down the field. I do think they have matchups that they like in the passing game down the field. The question is, can you hold up in pass protection against D4, Justin Houston, and that crew? You know, they're a good group up front.
Yeah, I mean, you can run on them, right? And they've given up some big plays, but they get to the quarterback. They definitely get the quarterback. Daniel Jeremiah is my guess.
I was just watching their sack reel, just kind of going back through this morning and going back and watching it. It's no joke, man. They got some legit pass rushers.
No doubt. Listen, before you go, and I'm fired up for that game, we're all fired up for the game tonight, I had Jarvis Landry on the show earlier this hour. The Browns still have a look at the postseason. What does that tell you about how they've turned things around? I mean, literally, they've gone from being a joke to a potential playoff team as quickly as they have.
It's impressive, man, and I think you got to give Baker a lot of credit for that. I mean, I kind of was a woe with me organization. Something went wrong, and here we go again. Baker Mayfield, you know, people, the cockiness, whatever you want to call it, I think it was just what that organization needed. And so it's a fun team to watch. Every week I love watching their tape, Jim. It's just a fun team to watch.
They're an absolute blast. Daniel, let me ask you this. It's been a few days since the Miami Dolphins beat the Patriots with the Miami Miracle. When you look at the All-22 film on that play, how many mistakes did the Patriots make?
Oh, it was ridiculous. You start with the personnel on the field, as has been well noted, was not the correct personnel you had on the field. And then the best way I can describe it after watching the All-22, Jim, is like you're like watching a fast break, like a three-on-two fast break, and you see both guys on defense buzz out to the wing, and the point guard kind of takes it straight to the bucket. Like, nobody there. Like, what the heck are you doing? You got to stop the ball, man.
Exactly. I mentioned earlier that you've been covering the Chargers as an analyst on the radio broadcast. This is not an easy thing at all to do, but you make it sound pretty easy. What's this season been like for you doing that?
It's a blast, man. The thing I love about it is getting to go kind of a deep dive on the opponent every week and then just being in the stadium, dude. It's, I love the studio. I have a lot of fun doing the TV stuff in the studio, but live events in a live stadium, Jim, I mean, I can imagine it's like watching, when you watch one of those horses up close, it's a lot better than watching it on TV, bro.
Always, always. Big night tonight. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, also the host of the Move the Sticks podcast, and the Thursday night game concludes. That matchup concludes the Thursday night portion of the schedule. Chargers, Chiefs on Fox, NFL Network, and Amazon Prime. Daniel, great to have you back. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you.
You got it, DJ. You too. Daniel Jeremiah. All right, so who do you like tonight? Chargers, Chiefs. He said they like some matchups downfield that they may have to go without their two backs, the Chargers, but they like some matchups downfield, and as long as they take care of the football, they've got their shot. Anthony Lynn's been talking about that too. Phillip Rivers, when they lost the opener, he had a huge game, but they lost the opener, and that happened in Carson, and now they've got to go to Arrowhead, where he certainly has had some challenges. It's a hostile environment now. That'll happen. Big game tonight. 1-800-636-8686. Who do you like and why? I've been thinking about this one all day. In fact, the last couple of days. I mean, it is the season finale. And with no disrespect intended at all for the Titans and the Jags, the Shield is saving the best for last. Chiefs and Chargers. As I mentioned earlier, when the schedule dropped, you might have thought that Pats and Steelers would have been the game of the week. Back then. Now it's not. This is it. I mean, I can mainline every single storyline in this rivalry, but let's be real. You know what this one's about? If you want to start someplace, start right here. The young gun v. the OG. Patty Mahomes, Phil Rivers. A couple of dudes who could not look any more different doing the job, but two dudes who are getting the work done, doing the work prodigiously. Listen. I mean, I can go on all day long about Patrick Mahomes, 43 TD passes, 4,300 yards, almost 9 yards a chuck, and the guy who basically no-looked passed his way to the MVP last week. But if he wants to lock down that number one seed in the AFC and run the postseason through Arrowhead, he's going to have to get by Phillip first. Now, if you look at these two, if we're being real, if I'm rolling a tape or a tale of the tape between a 23-year-old gunslinger with the freakiest skill set maybe ever and a 37-year-old soon-to-be father of nine who commutes like 3 hours a day for his job, they're going to stop that fight before the old man even gets inside the ropes. Except for one thing. Phil is not your average dad. And if you peep the way this guy's playing right now, he's doing it better than he ever has. He's completing nearly 70% of his passes. He's eating yardage by the mile. And if you stack up stats like yards per throw and QB rating, a couple of pretty good indicators of how lethal a quarterback is, these two guys are essentially in a dead heat. Now, there can only be one MVP. And I said earlier this week, go ahead and ship the hardware to the kid in KC and then keep moving. But when you look at what Rivers means to the Chargers and what that coaching staff puts on him every single week, if you want to make an argument for Phillip, I would at least listen. I mean, he might not, and I've mentioned this already, he might not get the run that other elite quarterbacks get, but don't get it twisted. This guy is elite. He deserves it. He's earned it. Phil Rivers is your favorite quarterback's favorite quarterback. He might look unorthodox slinging it, but he is laying down teaching tape every single week. Pre-snap, the guy's amazing. He can still move in the pocket. He's tough as hell. The ball is out of his hands as fast as pretty much anybody. Short throws, deep throws, chain movers. This guy can peel a leaf off every single branch of the route tree. And it's a good thing. He will need to do all of that tonight for them to have a shot. Because we all know history. And Kansas City is riding a 9-game winning streak. And in those 9 games, Phil has not exactly lit it up. 9 TD passes, 14 picks. And you know what the injury report says. They might be without both their starting running backs. And even if Melvin Gordon can go, even if, and he's going to be a game-time decision, he may probably be limited. And that's if he can go at all. And if you're going to walk into the front yard of the biggest bully in the neighborhood looking for a fight, you want to make sure you've got a badass like Melvin ready to rumble. And from the sounds of things, he may not be. Then again, we are 15 weeks in. Nobody's at full strength. KC is beat to hell, too. Tyreek Hill was gimping around on Sunday. Sammy Watkins, out. The Chiefs running back depth chart, not exactly gold either. So, who's it going to be? What's it going to be? Man, I so badly want to make an argument for the Bolts. They're on fire. They're playing their best ball when it matters most. They've won 9 of 10. They're 5-1 on the road. They've shown a hell of a lot of grit, especially in the way they came back on Pittsburgh. Phillip Rivers is having his best season ever. The Chiefs did have to grind it out for nearly 5 quarters to hold off the Ravens last week. The Ravens did beat Patrick Mahomes up. That short week is not going to help him or them. And I trust the Chargers more now than I have in a long, long time. And I want to tell you, it is their time. I would love to tell you it's their time, it's Anthony Lynn's time, it's Phillip Rivers' time. That crew is finally ready to win a game like that, in an environment like that, on the big stage, under the lights, with the entire nation watching. Man, I want to tell you that. But I can't. I can't. Not with Melvin Gordon being as big of a question mark as he is. Not with the number the Chiefs have done on Rivers in their own house. And again, I understand the Chiefs are porous defensively. I understand they cannot stop the run. But, as Daniel Jeremiah and I just talked about, they can't get to the quarterback. I think D. Ford's going to eat. I think Chris Jones is going to get his. I think they're going to make Rivers uncomfortable. And he's not going to have that running game to take the pressure off. I think I'm going to take the AFC's best at home, under the lights. And yes, it is true. Never mind pro football. Nobody should ever beat anybody at anything 9 times in a row in any walk of life. Then again, I did say exactly the same thing when that number was 7, then when that number was 8, and now it's 9, so why wouldn't 10 be possible? In fact, it's not only possible, it's likely. It just seems to me asking Phillip Rivers to go in there without his full arsenal is asking too much. I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
How about those Chiefs?
Awfully tough at home, under the lights, in prime time. Who do you like? Who do you have? Why? Call your shot right now. I'm just saying that straight up. How about the points? Last I saw was 3.5. Would you lay the points? Dear Jim, I am hyped for tonight's game. As a diehard Chiefs honk living on the East Coast, I plan on staying awake until at least halftime for this one. Casey in New Hampshire, you know it's a big game then. Dear Jim, oh my God, the portly hack is toast.
Oh my God, the quarterback is toast.
R.I.P. Matt in L.A. Brett from Buggahaw. Third hour's open. I want to talk about Patrick Reed. The Clippers going all in, every chip to the center of the table, and more. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Stay tuned. Your chance and your calls when we come back.